Hosea chapter 7. I'll start off by reading the first two verses, and that'll get us headed down the road here. It says, "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoiled without. And they considered not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and they are before my face." I think the reason I'm picking this particular chapter to spend some time in this evening is because a lot of things that are mentioned here have similarities in many ways with our own country and other countries around the world and just the circumstances of life in which we live. And so perhaps we need to keep in mind some of these things, the observations of God with respect to the happenings in personal lives, in the national lives of people around the world. This, of course, is focused in particular towards Israel and especially the northern tribe. When we start out here, that I would have healed Israel. Here's a situation where Israel was in a declining situation, even in the later years of Solomon and the following rulership that took place, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, who were basically split up the two kingdoms, split up Israel into two kingdoms. This speaks to that in part. Others have thought perhaps you get to about the time of Jehu, who was in charge, and there was also, I believe, I've forgotten now, it was Jeroboam that was at that time. I'll just say that. So there are similarities in both periods of time in relationship to this. But God had basically taken Israel and given them some national strength. They were beginning to recover from the circumstances and difficulties that they were going under. So God said, "When I would have healed Israel, then particularly in the time of Solomon's death, then iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria." Now, this idea of iniquity is that things are happening that are perverse. It's evil that's taking place. Literally, they turned aside from that which was right, that which was the truth. That would be the idea of iniquity here. And this would be in that when Ephraim and Samaria would be spoken of, the northern part of the kingdom, when they split away from Jerusalem and from Judah as such, do you remember what they did in order to keep people from losing their loyalty to the northern kingdom? They didn't want them to go to Jerusalem and worship in the temple because that's what they were required to do three times a year. And in order to prevent that from taking place, they then set up golden calves in two parts of the country. So this would keep them from crossing the border into Jerusalem and spending too much time there around the temple grounds and reestablishing loyalties that would be with Judah and the Jerusalem and that which God had established. And so when they did iniquity, they became perverse. They turned away. They did that which was evil. They distorted what was right. Correct worship. They distorted correct worship. They had to get a substitute in place to prevent the people from doing that which was right. And so then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. And so they started this worship of calves, or idolatry in the other circumstance. And so this is the idea of their ways, their heart was revealed that it wasn't right. They were not with God. They had not were not following His commandments and His ways. And so this idea of the wickedness of Samaria has to do with they've basically spoiled themselves and such to the degree that they were good for nothing, nothing at all. And so with this, it's described as they committed falsehood. they established a form of life that was a sham. So the worshiping of those calves or idols late in the other circumstance, that which they basically tricked their minds, their citizenry, to do that which was wrong. It was a fraud. It was a deluding. It was a disappointing situation. They just went wrong. It was bad. And so they committed falsehood, and it was like a thief coming in. When we have, well, I guess they were talking earlier before the church started about Walmart having a thief coming in, filled a basket full of goodies and was heading out the door, and someone who was involved in security grabbed the basket and prevented them from continuing on. They hadn't paid for the goods. They ran and got away in this case, but they gave two or three other examples in a newspaper article that they caught some of the people that were doing these things that were stealing out of Walmart. A thief coming within. But then we have other situations like, where was it, St. Louis, when they were having the difficulty with people coming in, and it's other places locally probably too more, but they'll get a group of people who come into a convenience store. And they just destroy the stuff that's there, and they run off with what they can grab and run with. And so that's the two ideas. It would be an individual, as it would be a thief there, and then it talks about a troop of robbers spoiling. And so they come in to strip and plunder and carry on as they would. So this is the status that we find that God is pointing out here with Israel. It's a serious situation. In verse 2, and they rendered not in their hearts, or they considered not in their hearts. I remembered all their wickedness. Now, in our country, we've had a lot of strange things going on in the past and recent years. As we went through the elections, we had charges of this and charges of that, and people doing things that they said, well, nobody cares. Nobody knows. But one of the things that we find here in verse 2, they consider not in their heart that this would be God speaking, I remember all their wickedness. God remembers. We just can't say, I'll do what's right in my own eyes and walk around and carry on as see what would be pleasing in my own thoughts and eyes. God sees it and he remembers. And this is something that people need to be. When we're giving out the gospel, we need to say that God judges. He remembers. I will remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. And so when things go bad and things go sorrowful, God has remembered, and also in many cases he has applied the application of justice to their lives such that they're beset. Round about, in that last part of the verse, there before my face, things aren't done in a secret. It's always done. And when Pastor mentioned there a week or so ago about be sure your sins will find you out, they're already known. It's that he shows them and allows them to be shown to others. And many times people receive the justice that they deserve because of what they've done, and they know. And when these things happen, it's a admonition to their own hearts and their ways, and also a warning to people round about when they are also aware of things that go on. Now, when we begin in verse 3, this deals with the area of a king. This deals with the area of one who works in the kitchen, a baker. And these two ideas work together here in several of these verses. It says, verse 3, they make the king glad with their wickedness. How many times have we seen this go on? They make the king glad with their wickedness. They're involved in things, but they do it in such a way that the king is made happy out of this. And the princes with their lies. And they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker. And so the problem is these things that are going on before the king and those who are the king's aides and things like this. One of the things I've been aware of lately is that we have a new president coming in, and there has been a call for almost, I think it's 30,000 people to be hired to serve the new president and the new government that's going in. Now, what kind of people are going to be entering into these tasks of caring for the needs of the new government here in the United States? 30,000 people, that's a lot of people. How are they going to, who is it that's going to be moved into these positions? And there's some people in our county who are going to receive $26 an hour and move to Washington, D.C., and they're provided, I don't know, they're probably going to pay for it, but the apartments and the housing is all in preparation, open, prepared for them to move in, and they're moving in even now, beginning in this period of time, and will on through the time of the inauguration. Now, with all of this, what kind of people are going to be going to serve the president? Are they going to make the king glad with wickedness and the princes with their lies? Now, I would say the princes would be the underlings, the those who were in charge of organizing the rest of it. What kind of people are going to be involved in the establishing of the new government that's going to take place here in just a few weeks? This is going to be very, very interesting to watch, because it could go well, it could just go terrible. And if they're going to be involved in wickedness and they're going to be involved in lies, they're going to be as adulterers, those who claim to be one thing and have no loyalty and do something else. This is going to be a very serious situation that's going to, all of this is developing in a matter of a month now. This is really big stuff that's going on. And so the comparison is the baker who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. Now, I've watched bread making a little bit, and there's other ways of doing it, but they'll take a little bit of yeast and put it into the dough, and they knead it up, and then they let it sit. And then the leaven seems to spread all the way through and make it all rise and bubble up good. In verse 5, in the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretcheth out his hand as scorners. Now, here's a situation where we have to remember, what is it that they did to the king? They made him glad with wickedness and the princes with their lies. And so in verse 5, in the day of our king, the princes have made him sick. The idea is they've worn him out and worn him down, and he isn't of strength to operate on his own. The idea here is with bottles of wine, the bottles would have to do with that which is such as a poison or a heat. They're wearing him down with all of this is going on. And the lies and the wickedness, it's like a wine that intoxicates. The effervescence of it seems to be great, but here it is. It's wearing the king down, and it's literally poisoning his life and his administration. And then in verse 6, for they have made ready their heart like an oven, while they lie in wait. Now, the lying in wait is normally used in the scriptures to suggest someone that you're going to walk home in the dark tonight, from here maybe to the corner, something like that. And someone hides behind a bush. And they lie in wait. They're going to trip you. They're going to rob you. They're going to do something. This is the kind of thing. This is going on all the time in Europe right now. We have the immigrants in there. They're taking over towns. They're moved into a lot of towns, and they take over neighborhoods. Or they just take over the streets. They take over the shopping districts on certain days and on certain conveniences. The lying in wait that goes on. They have made ready their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. And then it talks about their baker. I suppose the first part might have to do with the dough possibly even. And their baker sleepeth all the night, and in the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. Now, I don't know that I know of anybody that put bread into an oven to bake it, and then they left it all night, and the fire would be strong. But I know that when Sylvia bakes pottery, she doesn't usually get too far away from that kiln, because she's wanting to make sure that things are going right in the right way. And in this case, apparently this dough, this bread that's about to be made here, it gets so hot, it actually catches flame. And the flaming fire is a flame that just effervesces with lots of flame. I mean, this is a word that's doubled here in a sense. The flame flames. It bursts out. They are all hot as an oven. And this would probably speak of the princes and the people who support them. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges, and all their kings are fallen. So there is none among them that have called unto me. So with all of this, they're doing it with their own mind and their own imaginations, and they're doing it apart from the admonitions that God has given. So here we have a new government coming into the United States. And the question it is, have they called upon the Lord their God? Will they be calling on the Lord their God, or will they be doing stuff that's more like this, that's being mentioned here in the scripture? A lot to pray for, isn't there? Because we have to be, and this is true with any government. When you have a quick change in a government situation, we've had that in Turkey here not too long ago, and we've had that in other countries, a quick change in government. And all of a sudden, here we have all of this that's going on. Are they of a heart and mind to seek the Lord? And if you know someone that's going to Washington, D.C., are we able to deal with those people and say, are you going to do it in the imagination of your own heart and mind, or are you going to do it as of that which is pleasing to God? Remember, He's watching, and He remembers. Those are things that are going on. And this is really serious as we look at this. And Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now, when we talk about a cake that's not turned, and this is one of the reasons that which was in the oven flamed up heavily with fire, a cake which is not turned, I think of a microwave. That's where I first learned about having to turn food. And now a lot of you have microwaves that have this little turntable inside that goes round and round and round. But there was a day when they didn't have that. And you stick something in a microwave, it's hot here and it's cold there. And you can overcook something here and it's raw on the other side. And so this is part of the idea that's involved, a cake that's not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. So the strangers have come in, they've given all these lies, they've given all of this wickedness, and they have intoxicated the king with all of these ideas of how great he is. I think of Nebuchadnezzar when the three men failed to bow down before the idol and they were cast into the fiery furnace. He was too much of his own self. And the other occasion when the king, when the presidents, of which Daniel was chief of, they went privately to the king and said, have it so that no one prays to anyone but you for a whole month. And Daniel went home and prayed to the Lord as he always did. And they cast him into the lion's den. But see, the king was too much of himself. He only thought how great he was and had all of these people giving him all this poison. How great you are, how great you are. You're supreme. And yet, think about this. Nebuchadnezzar spent, 7 years as a beast in the field, where the hair on his body turned into feathers and he ate grass as an ox. And then when God allowed him to return to his senses, he understood who God was. So here we have this illustration that's going on. It goes on down clear to the bottom, but this gives us an idea of God's heart and of the heart we need to have and be sure that we do things God's way and not be following after that which is the way the world goes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we could meet here and spend a few minutes in meditation upon some of these things. I thank you. that we have this admonition of scriptures. As we see Israel as the illustration, we also can look across our country and across the countries of the world and read the newspaper discussions of all the things that are going on across the nations. And we see that in many cases, these warnings are very alive and very important even today. Father, may we be a people. May we be a people who are willing to give out this gospel of God who is a judge, but also of God who applies mercy to those who would have a heart for him. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.